Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. We are so grateful that you joined us today, and we are taking calls for the next couple of hours, 1-800-229-3000. And by we, I'm talking about Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we're so grateful for your wisdom. Jill, I want to know, what's on your mind today?
Okay, well, hello, everyone. So are we eclipsed out yet?
No, so, go for it.
I'm totally sorry.
Or should I say totality?
Yes. So it is still on my mind as something that, you know, everybody or almost everybody in the world kind of paused and thought about, right? And I know that I took a moment and we had the black glasses and we looked up and could see it. And that was quite exciting. And so I didn't get barraged with all of the new stuff because I was working yesterday. But I know that there are, you know, so many people and different religions and things have so many theories about it, right? But I think nobody can dispute that it's pretty amazing, right, how things line up. And I know that, you know, some people were saying, oh, it makes me feel so small. And I heard that from some, you know, the news and all. And my thoughts about it were, it actually doesn't make me feel small. It makes me feel in some ways more seen, and it makes me feel like the heavens are coming to us, and that behind the scenes, God is constantly aligning things, right? You know, back in Jesus's day, the disciples were so looking, and the people of that time so looking for him to shift the government and shift their world. And he came to do a paradigm shift. And so I think for me, you know, things like this that are so out of our control, yet so perfectly in order, make me kind of think about that paradigm shift. And every day here, you know, listening to our listeners, we're trying to help do those subtle changes that make a big difference, right, in people's lives. It's not always what we think we want, right, but it's often what we need. And so it makes me trust the Lord more. It makes me think about my own worry and anxiety about my own life. Right. I remember when I had my first child and I couldn't even drive in a car for a month. I was so worried I was going to drop her or somehow have an impulse to throw her. Right. And it was like, oh, my gosh, her life is in my hands. Right. And so it was such a picture of God to me, and grateful that those thoughts have receded back to the background where they belong. Right. But that God is holding all of us, right? And it feels chaotic, and it feels like, and it is chaotic, right? But he has that bigger picture. And so I was thinking about this because it brought to mind, you know, here in the afterglow of Easter still, right? And thinking about Good Friday and how the heavens went dark for those 3 hours, and how there is some evidence that there may have been an eclipse, right? And I think about how God uses the ordinary, you know, to do the supernatural, right? And so people may say, oh, it's just an eclipse. No, it was God aligning things. Yeah.
You know, the Bible says the heavens declare his handiwork.
Yes.
And you just described that beautifully.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about that paradigm shift and how we all needed those glasses to see it.
Yes.
And sometimes in our lives, we don't have the glasses.
Yeah.
And so when we have callers that call us, or when we're helping people see things differently or see things better, that will cause the paradigm shift. I like those reflections, no pun intended. We are so grateful for your insights, Jill. And, you know, we want to hear from you, caller. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. And I think that, you know, if you need a paradigm shift, it could be because you need to see it a little bit differently. And there is hope to see it differently. We want to hear from you. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment. When Napoleon was a young boy, he'd stand brave and unflinching while the soldiers fired off their cannons. yet he seemed afraid of the nearby ocean. Determined to help the child overcome his fears, one of the royal attendants picked the boy up and tossed him into the waves. After struggling onto dry land, the young lad ran away shrieking in terror. Later, someone asked why he was afraid of the sea and not the loud cannonade of the soldiers. The boy considered the question and then he answered, "Because I'm in command of the soldiers, but I'm not in command of the sea." Aren't most of us afraid of the things we can't control? Norman Vincent Peale said, "Let faith, hope, and courage enter into your thinking. Fear is strong, but faith is stronger yet." Thanks for listening to this New Life Moment. I'm Steve Arterburn, and to learn more about how faith counters the urge to control, visit newlife.com.
I love those New Life Moments because, you know, Steve always has a different way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that, it's interesting because we always pick them out before you all get in the studio.
I know, and it dovetails, doesn't it?
It went right with what you were talking about, Jill. And the idea that we can focus our mind on the hope. Mm-hmm. And Jim, even the passage of scripture that you offered, you know, as believers, our minds have to go towards the Lord has a plan. Nothing goes beyond his awareness, and that can bring us comfort. And I know sometimes for people, it also can bring frustration because mm-hmm. they want to know if God's in control, why is this happening to me? And, you know, we hear that. Our hearts go in that direction. And I just want to encourage people, if you're struggling today, take hope. God's working in your situation. And mm-hmm. Sometimes it's because you're going to call us at 1-800-229-3000. Other times it's because you're going to take that next right step. Jill?
Right. Well, and I think I love what Steve said. Faith counters our fear, right, over what we can't control. But I think we have to look for where God is working.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
A lot of times we are so focused on what we're fearful of because we're wanting to control it, right? And so we just get more of the fear. But when you see where God intervenes, and he shows up all the time. I love it.
He shows up a lot of times, the Bible says, where there's no counsel. He shows up with counsel. This weekend I was at a conference center. It's called Wind Shape. It's a beautiful conference center in Georgia. I was speaking. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I'm just going to take a half an hour and I'm just going to sit here at this lake. And all of a sudden I had all kinds of clarity. I actually had a breakthrough on something I was working with. And it was just because I took some time to look at God's creation. And I walked out back and she goes, wow. And I go, oh my gosh, I came through. The breakthrough I was having with a relationship in our family, I went, I've got the answer. Mm. Isn't that cool?
Oh,
that is cool.
And it was a lake. Somebody's advice.
Yeah.
I need both.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we are going to answer some calls now, and we're going to start with Patricia. She's calling us from Anaheim, and this is her first time calling. Thank you, Patricia, for calling. How can we help you today?
Hello. Thank you for taking the call. I've been trying to formulate a concern. My husband, I've been married 20-some years. Well, I've been married since 2004, so whatever that is. I'm still married. Mm-hmm. My husband was diagnosed with bipolar. I'm trying to really get to a question to get the help that you offer. Mm-hmm. What's going on right now? Let me try to do that. His thing would be leaving. If we got married every 6 months, he'd leave. The hospital would call me. They'd do something to the lithium level, and he'd be out again. And then he'd have it, like I said, every 6 months for about the first 5 years. This time, and what would happen would be he'd stay up late. He'd stay up 2 or 3 days, 4 days. This time, he was up all night, one night. And he hadn't had an episode in 4 years. He came back 4 years ago, and he said to me, I'll try not to leave. So that's the big thing with him, is the leaving. He just always seems to get reasoning from somewhere. I don't think it's God, because God, you don't get married and then God says leave. So anyway, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. All things considered equal. So anyway, this time he left. he had a good reason. And I just thought, you know, and I've been praying, and I just started on a 30-day prayer challenge or confession. I said, okay, because I believe God for his healing over the years. Mm-hmm. But it's been challenging. I know a little about bipolar. My family, my kids had sent me some stuff earlier, and I'd read it, and, you know, talkative and blah, 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 and all that. So, and grandiose ideas, and that's everything that was true about him now. But I want to know if my husband has found the place. When he left, I knew it was different. I don't ask me why, but I knew it was different. I did not know that he would go. There was a call from the hospital. He did end up in the hospital in another state. He said, they're going to find me a place. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. So he went through with all of that. And I'm wondering, I only know, like, good and evil. So if, say, for example, you got a drug problem, so, and if you don't have it no more, it's good. You got peace with God. You got it straight. This, he wasn't big on God stuff. I don't have to pray in tongues. I have to read my Bible. And I would question and say, are you saved? And get really, really upset with me with that. But anyway, so I'm wondering if there is a place in his mind, he would get very fresh when he was going through these episodes.
Patricia,
with other females.
Patricia, finish that question. You're wondering if...
Okay, I'm wondering if there's a place in his mind that he's found that does not include God. It's not evil, but it's, you know, like he's at peace or he's okay.
Okay. All right. And then I want a follow-up question. Jill and Jim will probably have questions, but I want one more question. Is he with you now or is he gone?
No, he left in January. Gone.
Okay. Okay. All right. Jill, you want to start?
Okay. So, yes, I do have questions. So what you're saying, Patricia, is that every time he has a bipolar episode, he leaves.
Yes. Yes, that's the big deal.
Okay, so that's what he does.
Give me a good reason for it, though, in his own reason.
Okay, but we know when people go into a manic episode, you're right, they do get grandiose, and they think everything makes sense when it doesn't make sense to the rest of us. And they also don't think about how it impacts other people, how their behavior impacts others. Right. And so if you're not in their flight of ideas and their grandiosity, they leave you behind. So he goes into this episode, and this is part, and I know, you know, people don't like to hear this, but bipolar is a form of mental illness. Right.
Right.
It is biologically based. Right. So he has
biologically based.
Yes. So he has a condition that, you know, is likely, I mean, it is lifelong. And so it has to be, you know, managed and treated. And when treated,
when it's not.
When treated, they live perfectly normal lives without evidence of mental illness, right? But the problem is, especially those who go into manic phases, they like that because, oh my gosh, you feel superhuman, right? Everything is wonderful. Who wouldn't want to feel that, right? So it's like, yeah, there's no need for God because, you know, they can do it all.
Right. No, kidding.
In a sense, right. So, so that's what's happening. So a lot of times they're very resistant to staying on the medication because the medication doesn't make them feel as great, quite honestly. But
he's been off for 4 years.
The medication?
For 4 years. Yeah. And
okay.
To me it was a little teeny bit zombie-like.
On the medication?
No.
Oh, okay.
He says he's like that on it. That's what he told me.
Well, of course, because it brings down the high, but it also brings up the low and puts you in a middle range, right?
Wow.
A middle range of functioning, which is where we all optimally want to be. But for him, so when you're saying he seems dull or he wasn't on the medication, that could be that could be his depressive phase, because sometimes for some people they have a really high and maybe their depressive phase is not quite as low, but they just seem kind of dull and listless.
So, Jim, let's go to that question that Patricia has about that space in her mind or in his mind. Patricia?
Yes?
We're going to hear from Jim. And, Jim, that space that she's asking about, does it mean that it's evil or whatever?
Right. And I just want to also say what Jill said to you, Patricia, was really important. And, you know, as much as you can, when you're praying for him, pray that he can be on that medication, mm-hmm. because if they're not medicated, it really is. It's the highest of highs. Sometimes it can be the lowest of lows. Yes. And you know, that's what's going on. So, you know, whenever he goes in and gets help, he finally goes, I'm going to get some help, they're going to put him on medication. So the answer would be that he would have a psychiatrist who is monitoring all this, and they can be on that team. I think with bipolar, you want a team. But you know, I wrote down, I was thinking of a scripture. Because, you know, where is God in the midst of this? And, you know, it's very clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And God says, I will never leave you or forsake mm-hmm. you. So we make a decision. Maybe right now your husband is making a decision to not bring the Lord into his life. But the Lord is not doing that. The Lord, just because he has even bipolar or any of these things, the Lord is present in his life. The Lord will be present in his life. And part of your prayer is that that your husband recognizes that. And I know sometimes, you know, you'll see this with people who are alcoholics and they have been in recovery, and all of a sudden they start drinking and they're now not going to be dealing with the Lord as much because of that. Well, you know what? They're on a high. Mm-hmm. Your husband is on a different kind of a high, but the high that he's on, this manic that she talked about, that sometimes also can mean that, you know, they're saying, well, I guess I'm not really in need of the Lord right now. You know, what you can do is be, you know, a good role model to him long term. Be that safe person so that when he does, you know, come back, he's going to come back to you, but he'll also come back to a relationship with the Lord. But remember this, Lord doesn't leave him. He might leave the Lord, but the Lord doesn't leave him. I will never leave you or forsake you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Patricia, we're going to send you a copy of the book that I wrote with Steve, Understanding and Loving a Person with Bipolar Disorder. And I think that will help you on this journey. It's tough. It can be very confusing, and mm-hmm. especially when this pattern has been happening for over 20 years. But I love what both of you said, and I appreciate you calling, Patricia, because there's a lot of people that are struggling in relationships with somebody who has bipolar disorder or mm-hmm. some other mental challenge like that. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. And we are going to talk with Claire, who's calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Claire. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Actually, I have a question regarding boundaries with my sister, who has a son who has been diagnosed with several different things, but the lack of discipline on her part is affecting how we all kind of get along or don't get along. I just have a different parenting attitude altogether, and she kind of lets her son talk to her and to different parts of the family very rudely, shut up, you know, and I'm not going to listen to you, all that. And it's really affecting, you know, the dynamics, I guess I would say.
All right. Yeah. So, Jim? You want to start on this one?
Yeah, and you know, it's not easy, and this is not one of these magic wands, this is going to go away thing, Claire. But I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate you bringing this up, because I think a lot of us deal with this kind of thing. You know, my phrase would be, you know, honor your sister and protect your family and protect yourself. So what that means is you don't have to allow her child to live that way, but at the same time, you can still, you know, love on your sister and actually probably identify with some of this. So you know, honor your sister, love on her, care for her, but at the same time, make sure that you don't break your boundaries.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Claire, hold on. You can hear the music. We want to hear from Jill as well.
Yep.
You know, it's also managing all of those relationships, right? It's, you know, you have one relationship when you are growing up together, but then you start having children and you're coming together for these family things. And so that's where the problem. Yeah. Plus, if your kids see this child doing it and they're like, well, mom, you know, so-and-so gets to do it. We are going to help you, Claire, just after this break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-229-3000. We've got some lines open right now. We're talking with Claire, And she brings up the subject of her sister's kids and just that whole dynamic that comes together when the family rules don't all match up.
So hard.
Jill, what would you have
so
to
Claire,
ask
I, one question first. How old is her son?
11, actually.
Oh, okay.
And another thing is that comes into play is a lot of myself feeling angry towards both my sister and the child because of lack of discipline. And I get really angry that, you know, she's not parenting right, and why isn't she parenting right, and why is she, you know what I mean?
So, Claire, so yes, and, you know, this is really touchy, and there's a fine line here because you and your sister are not the same. And do you find that you differ on other issues besides parenting?
Oh, yeah. We are so different. It's crazy.
Okay. So this...
I just feel like... This is... try my way once in a while, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. But, Claire, and maybe your way works better in the sense that your children are more well-behaved. And so I can see where that would feel like, yeah, why don't you try this? Because look, you're out of control. But it is bigger than just her son's behavior. You guys do a lot of things differently. And I think it's important to have a little maybe grace for your sister and maybe allow her to be who she is. It's important to earn the right to say something, and people are especially touchy when it comes to their parenting and their kids, and you will get defensiveness, you know, just in a flash. And so you have to think about, okay, how do I talk to my sister? Can we talk about other things we disagree on and what happens, right?
Okay.
And why is it that I do think I'm right? I mean, it may be because I see the results, but maybe I'm looking for different results than she's looking for. Maybe her emphasis is different. And, you know, sometimes people do things very different, but then end up in the same spot. And so we have to kind of reflect on our own judgment, right? It's like the difference between people who are plan ahead people, that's half the population, and the people that do everything last minute and fly by the seat of their pants. I mean, personality wise, very, very different, but they end up usually in the same spots. And so we have to allow people to have their differences, right?
So how do I talk to myself
I know, and it's hard. So here's another thing. If it's in your home, and it would be great if there were, like, I don't know, your husband or uncles or people that could kind of maybe come alongside this kid and maybe from a male's perspective say, hey, bud, you know, think we need to tone it down here, or just kind of curb and give him a little bit of social pressure to act differently. I know one time when my son was younger and about that age, and as a single mom, right, I didn't have that male energy around. And I had a friend of mine who I knew loved me, and I knew loved my kid, and was not a critical person at all. And she said to me, you know what, I don't like how your son just talked to you. And it was very eye-opening for me. But see, she had a place in my life where I didn't get defensive. Because of the relationship we had. So had she been somebody who was highly critical of me, I wouldn't have taken it in the same way. And so I would challenge you to work on your relationship with your sister and appreciating the differences in her and how she does do things. Right? And not just a focus on if she would only do it my way, she would have it right. That's like, you know what, every ADHD kid in school has had someone say, well, if you would just do it this way, you would get it. And they just want to scream because it's like, you don't understand, right?
I love that, Jill. I also think, Claire, what Jill is suggesting, and this is more on you, is creating that space. You're probably feeling tension just even thinking about when you have to go over there, right?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And it's just, it makes it that we don't spend very much time together, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because we were very close, but yet I just get so stressed out and I worry about, is it going to happen?
Right. And so what are some steps, Jill, what are some steps that Claire can begin to do when she's thinking about going over there? Because you're hearing that tension, that anxiety kick in, which sets the stage for the reaction.
You feel out of control, right?
Yeah.
So I want you, you know, to certainly be praying about it, right? And handing your sister and your nephew over to the Lord, right? This is not your problem to solve. Right,
and I
like.
I had to learn that very slowly because I'm trying to solve it.
But yes, you are, you are, and so that's you know when we feel out of control, we want to control, right? And it's more about we want to control our world versus necessarily controlling other people. But other people get roped into that, and so you know a lot of breathing, a lot of okay, I'm just going to allow things to be, and I'm going to work on you know. Trusting that I don't have to change my sister and I don't have to control the situation. And if I'm uncomfortable, I can leave. Right? And it does sound like that's what you do, but if you can come with the mindset of not trying to control and critique her, right? And then you focus on what you love about your sister.
Okay.
Redirect that energy there.
I love that. Claire, we're going to send you a copy of Boundaries. Just in case you haven't read it yet, it's a good reminder that we all struggle with this. But I love what you know, that your intention is to make it right. And we're going to pray for that as well.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. And I just want to encourage you, if maybe you're not going to make a call today, but maybe you need to go to one of our intensives. And we have discounts available for registering early. We have some scholarships. We want you to do whatever it takes to move forward in your life. And that's why we offer these. Matter of fact, we have one this Saturday for Every Man's Battle that's online. And that's attainable. Men, you know, if you need to deal with the sexual integrity of your life, this would be a great opportunity for you to connect and to learn more and to have some strategies going forward to live a life that's free of, you know, just the oppression that comes with sexual addiction as well as acting out of all different kinds. We live in a sexually saturated culture, and we hear from men all the time that they just want help, and we have help for you. So you can sign up for Every Man's Battle online. We're going to go back to the calls, and we're going to talk with Heather, who is calling us from Los Angeles and listens on the podcast. You can listen to the podcast as well. Download it wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, Heather. We're glad you called today. How can we help you?
Yeah, I wanted to get feedback on an ongoing situation I've been managing for over 20 years. I'm married to my high school sweetheart and have three children with him. His dad, before I knew the family, molested his stepdaughter for years with no charges or counseling. His mom stayed with him. We have set up strong boundaries with the kids never being left alone, and I barely see or talk to his parents. I am having cognitive dissonance about remaining in the relationship at all. I would want no contact, but my husband wants to maintain the relationship with his parents. The whole thing has worn me down. The fakeness I have to do in person for family events is hard. What can I do?
That's so tough. It's tough. Jim, let's start. How can we help her?
First of all, Heather, sometimes you're going through something like this and you're saying, I don't want anything to do with him. You know, you and your husband have a different opinion. all of your experience is normal. Okay. It's absolutely normal. So, you know, I sometimes will think, am I crazy or are they crazy or whatever? Your experience here is normal. And this is something you want to dig at because it's going to affect, obviously, your husband and it's going to, you know, other things. You need to be able to feel safe. And I'm suggesting that you and your husband actually go to a counselor and walk through some of this because you're at a place where, you know, he's going to have one view, you're going to have another view, and perhaps a counselor can help you come to a, you know, kind of a decision on it. But what you're feeling is not bad. What you're feeling is so normal. And I get your husband. I mean, your husband wants a relationship and whatnot, but, you know, you came into this situation so many years ago, but it's really, really tough. Was there molestation with others as well that you know of?
He denied them, but yes.
Yeah, because that, you know, a lot of times, if you hear one, somebody was molested, the chances is that person also was molesting others also. So I want to give you kudos for saying, you know what, we're going to keep our kids safe. We're not going to put our kids in that kind of a situation. I hope your husband feels that way too, in terms of being alone and whatnot. But your feelings are very normal. And I think you would get some great help if you and your husband did talk through this with somebody because they're not going to play either side. They're going to get you two to develop a you're going to problem solve, and you're going to get you two to work together to come up with a solution that, and both of you might have to agree to disagree on certain things. But the main thing for me, I'm thinking about you, and I'll let Jill then talk, but I'm thinking about you and how you feel, and I just want to validate your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Jill?
Oh, Heather, such a difficult situation. So this is your husband's stepfather, and the stepsister was molested?
It's his father and it's his stepsister that was molested.
Right. Okay. Okay. You know, it is so hard because we marry into families, right? And there is no family without dysfunction, and some is worse than others. And I can see where your husband is torn because along with this package, his mom is involved, right? And so, we were talking earlier today, behind the scenes about just how many people nowadays, you know, don't like something in their family, so they cut them off, right? And how it's so extreme, even for minor infractions, this kind of all or nothing thinking. Now, you have a situation where, okay, somebody is not a safe person to be around. So there's more of a reason, in a sense, right, to maybe cut someone off. But if we think about, you know, how do we move forward and maybe be not so extreme? Because we can't go around literally cutting out everybody we either don't agree with or who might be, you know, harmful to us in some way. And so you already mentioned this idea of boundaries, you know, because of what has happened here. And let me just also say, it makes a difference whether he has gotten any help. And if there's any acknowledgement, it's harder if he has not, right? So I think that you limit your exposure to him, right, while also maintaining a relationship with mom. And maybe you encourage husband, why don't you take your mom out to lunch, right? Why don't you spend time with your mom so it isn't always a group gathering? But I would also wonder about his stepsister. Does he have a relationship with her? I mean, certainly she was. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I was just saying she's been on drugs for years from the trauma. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there's a lot of fallout, is what you're saying.
There's a lot of fallout, and she had three kids that we kind of helped.
Okay. So you have come. You have come alongside, and.
Well, the other question Heather was asking is about Heather. You're trying to deal with the disruption in your own thinking, like the pretending that goes on in the relationship.
Right. Like I'm exhausted. Like I've already done the boundaries, you know?
Okay.
So like, and I feel like it's just continually wearing me down for this long of a time to be managing it with the boundaries has been hard. So I'm like, oh, can I just do a cutoff at this point? Or do I just continue to do the boundaries and I don't know.
Has he done any work at all? That's what Jill was asking. Has he done any kind of work?
No, okay. Okay.
No. Him or his wife. So yeah, so now I'm
so your
more
mother-in-law.
At like the resentment. I'm more like at the anger stage of him and his wife.
Okay, I get you. They just kind of carried on as if nothing happened.
Yes.
And their daughter is having all this fallout, and yet everybody's just acting like this is normal.
Yes.
Okay. That would be a lot more difficult. And
oh, go ahead.
And certainly you can stop pretending.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we, instead of pretending like everything's normal, sometimes we treat a person, you know, as if we know the truth because we do know the truth.
Heather, what's the conflict between you and your husband on this? When you're having pillow talk or when you're having conversations, you're saying one thing, he's saying another. If you summarize that real quickly for us.
Well, he's been very respectful of me wanting the boundaries and has just kind of let me do what I have needed to do in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So he gets it. He's been validating. At the beginning, it wasn't like that, at the very beginning of the marriage, and then now he's come full circle. Mm-hmm. And gets it.
So do you feel, Heather, like you're still, like, because you're having to go along with how they're not doing anything and they're not addressing this, it's like the elephant is in the room all the time and you're the only one that's aware of it?
Yes. And then I guess I would say for my husband, I do have, like, some anger that he hasn't wanted to, like, either get more frank with them or want to limit his relationship with them more. So there's that factor too.
Yeah, so Heather,
it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah.
I want to, have you guys done any counseling on this at all? You and your husband, like Jim suggested?
We haven't together. I've done a lot on my own, but not together, no.
Okay, that'll probably be your next step. The other thing I would encourage you to do is to get into some, just a support group of codependency. Not that you're codependent, but what's happening is the whole family has become that way because no one is requiring them to do the work. And so now we just all got to pretend like everything's okay. And that's where your challenge is.
Okay.
Jim, Jill, any last words before we go?
I think the answer is, honestly, you and your husband come together on this, and you know, it'll even there's a little bit of conflict, it'll draw you closer together just by having these kind of open and frank conversations and not pointing the finger at each other, but just literally saying, what can we do?
Well, and helping your husband to be more real about it, right? And grieving the loss here that he has this kind of family, and then that will open up what the next steps are in terms of how you deal with family.
I love that. I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love, Heather, because there's the way to have conversations is in there. It'll also help you both understand, you know, how the histories, you know, come together in marriage and give you a path forward. We know it's tough, and you're doing the right thing by addressing it. And we'll be praying along those lines. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I just want to start with a big thank you to all of you who are supporting New Life Ministries. You are making a difference in the lives of so many people. And right now we have a matching gift campaign going on, and we've heard from so many of you. We want to hear from as many of you who believe in the ministry and believe that we are making a difference in the lives of so many people. I think you do. You wouldn't be listening right now if you didn't think that. We have a matching gift up to $400,000. Every dollar that you give will be doubled, and it will impact the lives not only of the people that you hear, but also their families, then ultimately their community and the world. You know, we believe in the power of giving, and we believe that as you give, you are making a difference. We've seen it. We've seen God work in the lives of so many people, and we love hearing the testimonies of new life after making those changes. It's like what you were talking about, Jill, in the very beginning. You know, we just have to have a paradigm shift, and sometimes it requires a counselor, sometimes it requires an intensive. We want to be there for people for the next 35 years and beyond. So give today. You can go to newlife.com, click and /donate, or you can text the word match to 28950. And of course, you can always call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We appreciate every gift. It will make a difference. Now we're going to go back to the calls, and we are going to talk with Jennifer, who's calling us from Boston and listens on WEZE. Hello, Jennifer. How can we help you today?
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I've listened to you for many years, and you're awesome, and I appreciate that. I'm calling today because I just have a situation with my sister. For many years, years ago, she was a victim of domestic violence, where she needed surgery, multiple surgeries for, and then he went to prison for trying to strangle her for 7 years. Mm. So she had significant trauma, and she was doing fine. Like after that, it's kind of a long story, and I know you don't have that time. But anyways, long story short, after she was working, had her own business, but she started to unravel a bit, started drinking and using prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. So that being said, then comes, you know, bad choices and whatnot, but it seemed to, over the years, she just seems to have a lot of regret. And in the past year and a half, she's become, she was homeless, she lost her home. That was a big thing, but because for 13 years did not pay a mortgage, but because she was extremely smart, she used to go represent herself in court and shut it down for 13 years until one day she missed the court date. She was homeless. Then we were paying for her to live in a hotel and whatnot. But my question is, after many years of me sectioning her, and they'll send her someplace and then let her go or try to give her some medication and whatnot. It just doesn't seem to be doing anything. I just need some, I'm looking for some help. I have her in a facility, and we just got guardianship today.
Okay.
Her. So my question is, I feel as though mental health is not equal to physical health. With physical health, they open up the abdomen and find out where the disease is. Mental health, they slap drugs on them, and that's it. So I'm tired.
So you're wondering, right now, Jennifer, what does long-term support look like for your sister? Like, well, how do you continue this? Yeah. Let's start with Joe. We only have a few minutes, so I want to get...
So, Jennifer, sure. She's in a guardianship, which means she's not been functioning well at all. And I could see... Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just the last year and a half she's been living in, you know, she didn't want any light in her room.
Okay.
On top of talking in multiple languages.
Oh, okay.
Real languages, not confabulation, very scary.
Okay. Okay.
So, that's a concern too.
Okay. She's in care now.
So she's in care. So part of, you know, and I know it's complicated, but I her whole life picture that you just presented is quite complicated. And she was a victim, but then she also, it sounds like, victimized the system. So there's some extremes here for her. I think what it looks like is somebody, and you're doing this, managing her care and helping her on multiple levels. There's not just one thing that's going to fix everything. So obviously physically helping her, and yes, with the emotional stuff, she needs to be in some form of therapy and talking through some of the trauma stuff and the things that have happened to her in life to the degree that she's able to do that. And so a lot of times in a facility, in a program, they'll be managing the physical health, but they'll also be putting them in groups and doing individual care. And so you want to look for all the pieces that this facility offers. And is there an emotional growth program that goes along with any physical care that she's getting? And then the proper diagnoses.
Yeah. Jennifer, first of all, thank you for loving your sister.
Yeah.
you're the hands and the mouthpiece of God for her. And I'm so grateful for you caring for her, because, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do on certain levels here. Yeah. And you're doing the very best you can. So, you know, way to go. Jill used a phrase, and it's funny because I wrote it down too, managing the care. You may not be able to manage your sister. You may be able to manage the care. And so when Jill said, you know, a place, a care facility that not just looks at the physical and takes care of physical needs, but also the mental and emotional needs, this is the long term. Domestic violence is interesting, or any kind of abuse is interesting, because it's, you said she was doing fine and then she kind of unraveled. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the onion peel. Sometimes people do get better, and then this trauma that took place, you know, just takes over their life. And it sounds like that's been the case. With all that you described, I'm doubting that, you know, tomorrow there's going to be a magic pill or there's going to be a magic conversation. So what you want to do is make it the show your love by managing her care. You're the guardian now. And realize that, you know, you didn't do the domestic violence. You're not responsible for some of the poor decisions that she's made. And so what a loving gift to try to manage the care, and at the same time make sure that care, and since you're managing care, you're a caregiver, make sure that you are taking care of your own soul at the same time. Mm-hmm. And again, I realize that this is for you, this is more of a calling, and sometimes callings have burdens with them, and this might be more of a burden too.
Yeah. Well, and I just love the fact, like what you just said, Jim, about Jennifer, you are loving her. Now you're also wondering, when is, you know, how does this ever get organized? How does this ever get straightened out? Because there's been so much chaos. But the fact that you have guardianship is a good sign, and managing that care will be multifaceted. And, you know, it's tough to be that caregiver. Because you've known her in different ways when she was more capable, but that she's safe is really important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope that's helpful to you, Jennifer. And I think we're going to send you a copy of Changes That Heal for you. I think that'll encourage you as you try to make sense of all of this. But, you know, it's tough. We're talking about family connections. We're talking about, you know, how that impacts us. Jim, as we wrap this show up, we're going to continue to take calls for the next hour. We've got some lines open. We've got calls. Please wait on hold while we're going to go to a break. But, Jim, how can we encourage people?
Well, I think we need to remember today that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And the world and the culture is just driving us all crazy, and our families are driving us crazy, but greater is he who is in you. So lean on God's strength today.
I love that. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, callers and listeners. We'll be with you in just a minute.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.